Paul, the Apostle by Grace, by Brother John Mitchell, Chapter 35, A Marvellous Escape. The stars of heaven may have been hidden from view during the rest of the voyage from Corridor, but the metaphorical star of Paul, the prisoner of hope, was in the ascendant in the eyes of everyone on board the hapless vessel after his revelations to them. The master and Julius were still in charge of sailing and discipline, but Paul's voice was the one that was heard in the subsequent crises. The storm conditions continued for another 10 uncomfortable days after Paul's prediction as to how the voyage would end, as the ship drifted for over 400 miles across the Adriatic Sea. Then at midnight on the 14th day after they'd left Corridor, the experienced ears of some members of the crew detected distant shoals that signified the nearness of land. So they dropped the lead and found they were in 120 feet of water, and sounding again shortly afterwards found it reduced to just 90 feet. This at once raised fears that the vessel would be driven onto some rocky shore and shipwrecked in that way. To avoid this, they dropped four anchors from the stern of the ship, two on each side, after which the whole company prayed for daylight so that they might see where they were. The sailors, however, who did not trust their gods to deliver them, preferred their own selfish means of deliverance, and whilst pretending to lower more anchors from the prow, let the lifeboat down into the water and were preparing to enter it, when Paul, realising what was afoot, said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." Paul knew that all hands would be needed for what was to come, and that from now on he would have to take charge. Julius reacted quickly to what Paul had said and ordered his men to cut the lifeboat loose and let it fall into the sea. After what had happened, general morale seems to have reached its lowest. So just before dawn, Paul addressed the whole company and advised them to have something to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you've been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." And after he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. Thus encouraged, the whole company ate as much as they could before they further lightened the ship by throwing the rest of the grain into the sea. When the longed-for dawn came, the sailors did not recognise the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the four anchors that had held the ship stable against the force of the wind and the waves, and bringing the two rudders once more into play, they hoisted the small foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The time to make for the shore had obviously come, but that moment brought with it a crisis of a different kind for the prisoners, including Paul. Under military law, escorting soldiers were answerable with their own lives if their charges were to escape. On the other hand, to have the prisoners manacled to themselves would have imperiled their own chances of survival. So the logical thing to do, according to the military mind, was to kill the prisoners first, lest any of them should swim away and escape. Julius, however, mindful of Paul's great contribution to the safety of them all, wanted to spare his life and kept the soldiers from carrying out their plan. He ordered those people who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship, and in this way everyone reached the land in safety. They had arrived in Malta at last. Wet through amidst the driving rain, the survivors, though delivered from the waves, could not have survived without help. Exceptionally, in such circumstances in those days, that help came from the islanders themselves, who, says Luke, showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Giving a helping hand as one would have expected of him, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, But as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself onto his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul, shaking the snake off into the fire, suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. What external shelter, even of a temporary kind, there was in the vicinity of the shore, Luke does not say, but he does record that there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island, and he, presumably, was the only person with the resources for sheltering, at least for the time being, the 276 people who suddenly landed on his doorstep. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably, gratefully acknowledges Luke, who must then have been happy to record an instant reward for such kindness and generosity. Publius's father was sick in bed, suffering from dysentery in an aggravated form. So Paul went to see him, and after prayer for so worthy a household, placed his hands on him and was granted the power to heal. News of such bountiful grace at the hands of the visiting missionary quickly spread throughout the island amongst the rest of its helpful inhabitants, and they were not slow to bring their sick also to be cured. In this way, reciprocal acts of kindness and gratitude rebounded between the islanders and their visitors and sweetened the enforced stay of the ship's company as they waited for the spring and an opportunity to resume their journey.